Sermon title today is It Is Finished. Last week we briefly looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and we talked about verses 1 through 8. We won't go there today, but I'll review that with you if you'd like to read that, write that scripture down. It brought out that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he rose again according to the scriptures, that he was seen by the disciples, then he was seen by over 500 people at one time. Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of all prophecy concerning the Messiah. Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins. There wasn't another, and there will not be another. Not only is it an historical fact that Jesus arose from the grave, that he died and that he arose from the grave, not only a fulfillment of prophecy, but Jesus Christ is the only name above heaven or below whereby we may be saved. Now turn with me to John chapter 19 this morning. The Gospel of John and chapter 19. John chapter 19, we're going to go down to verse 28. And we're going to read verses 28 through 37. So John chapter 19 and verse 28. And verse 28 says this: After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. And now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, It is finished, and bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Therefore, because it was the preparation day, that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs may be broken and that they might be taken away. And then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen has testified. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth so that you may believe. For these things were done that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones shall be broken. And again another scripture says they shall look on him whom they have pierced. There is much here concerning the prophecy that we could go into. But today, let's focus on verse 30, that it is finished. In verse 30, so when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, It is finished, and bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. No, they did not kill Jesus. He gave his life, and that was the significance of his legs not being broken. Matthew 27, verse 50 says he yielded up his spirit. And if you go back just a few pages to John chapter 10 and verse 18. John 10 and verse 18. And verse 18 says this of John 10, No one takes it from me. Speaking of which? Speaking of his life. But I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. The power to lay it down, the power to take it back up. In John chapter 19 and verse 30, in your bulletin is a partial list of the finished work of the Lord Jesus when he said that he was finished. It was finished. The work that he had came to do, it is finished. And this is only a partial list. Through his finished work, Jesus secured the ability or our availability for us to be saved, to be healed, to be delivered, to be set free by the power of God. This work has been done. It is finished. By faith, I can be saved, I can be healed, I can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Jesus is in the I can business, not the I can't business. All things are possible with God. Saints, let's pull out the stops on God. He can, so I can. Now, Matthew 27, in verse 50 through 51, it brings out that the veil of the temple was torn from the top to the bottom. And what is the significance of the top to the bottom is knowing that no man did it, that it was only God. That he opened that up so we could go into the very presence of God because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Through Christ, we have what? Total access to the presence of God. Not only access for us to receive, but also for the church, the power for us to carry on the work of Jesus. Have you ever wondered in your Christian walk why Jesus didn't set up a protest movement? Well, one reason was his kingdom was not of this world. But the number one reason was, is because the problem of this world are only symptomatic of the real problem. The problems of this world that we see today are only symptomatic of the real problem. The number one problem in this world today is because of sin. Mankind has been alienated from God. The problem in America is not drugs. It's not lawlessness. It's not abortion. It's not the gay community and gay rights. It is not rioting. They are only symptoms. The real problem is that people are not saved. That's the problem in America. We do all these other things. Oh, we're going to put more law enforcement on. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And all we're doing is continuing to work with the symptoms, but we never get to the real issue, and we never solve the problem. Because the real problem of America is that people do not know Jesus. Because if you know Jesus, you don't carry your life out in the way that they carry their life out. Now turn with me to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. In Luke chapter 4, we start reading from verse 16. In Luke chapter 4, verse 16, so he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he closed the book, and he gave it back to the attendant, and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus came to save the lost. He doesn't say that he came to protest the Roman government. The problems of this world are because people do not know Jesus. Luke 19:10 says this, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. America has a lostness problem. So let's turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. I want you to remember what was shared there just a little bit in the book of Luke of the reasons why that Jesus came. But if you go to Matthew chapter 9, look at verse 35. Verse 35 of Matthew 9, it says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So why was Jesus moved with compassion? If you boil it all down, it was because they did not have God in their lives, and he saw that, and he recognized the problems that he had. He didn't look at them and says, oh, look at all these people over here doing drugs. Look at all these people over here that are caught away in alcoholism. Look at all these people over here that are homeless and all this destitution. I need to protest the Roman government. He saw all those people. He was moved with compassion because they had no relationship with God. The problem in Marion County is people don't have a relationship with God. God. The problem in our school systems is the people don't have a relationship with God. The problem in Washington, D.C. is that they do not seek and serve a living God. They're serving themselves. What was his response in verse 37 through 38? For those to witness, to testify, so the people might find God. That's you and me. That's us. He says in verse 37, then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. The reason why the finished work of Jesus is not only so they we can have the great gifts and the wonderful gifts that God has given us, but also that he would empower the church with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he empowered witnesses, would reach out to a lost and dying world. The only way that Christianity is not in the history books today and not lived out is because of the power of the Holy Spirit. The church needs the power. The church needs the power from God, because we can never do it on our own. Look at the churches that are trying to do that. The churches that are trying to do it all in social events and functions and living out just coming and singing a couple of songs and reading a nice story out of the Bible and maybe even preaching a little bit, but they're not living it out by the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit is what changes people's lives, not us talking to them and telling them they need to be better people. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. The church needs the power of the Holy Spirit. Church, we need your, God, we need your power in this church. If we're ever going to affect our communities, if we're ever going to affect this nation, it is done by the Spirit of God. What did Jesus say in Luke? The Spirit of God has anointed me to preach the gospel, the good news. Think about this in every problem in America. That every problem in America is rooted in the spiritual problem of people being alienated from God. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says this, we are like sheep that have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way. When mankind goes their own way, it leads us from God, not to him. So every problem is rooted in a spiritual problem. Let me give you an example. We keep hearing that we need to follow the science. Well, life begins at conception, does it not? So if we follow the science, then life begins at conception. Psalms 139 says that we are wonderfully and fearfully created in God's image. Jeremiah says God knew him while he was yet in the womb, and he had plans for him even before he was in the womb. So let me ask you, if the majority of the people in America were saved, would abortion be the issue that it is in America today? And the answer is no. Because to the saved of God, life is precious, because God is a giver of life. And if everybody in America knew Jesus and everybody in America was serving the Lord Jesus, they would never look upon a small child and say, you know what, we need to end this child's life, because every life is precious in God's eyes. If people were saved, would we have lawlessness that we have in America today that continues to grow? And the answer is no, because I want to obey the laws. I'm supposed to render unto Caesar what I'm supposed to render to him, and unto God what I'm supposed to render unto him. I try to obey the laws of the land. I want to be a good person. I heard a guy tell me one time, Brother Friel, I don't know why everybody don't want to go to church, because the only thing Jesus wants to do is help you to be a better person. I'm a better person since I know Jesus. I'm a better father since I know Jesus. I'm a better grandfather. I'm a better husband today because I know Jesus. Because when he starts bringing those attributes in my life of love and caring and nurturing, I start living those things out of my life, and all of a sudden I'm not up in Des Moines rioting and trying to tear things up. The scripture says he created us male and female. Who in their right head thinks that we should teach kindergarten through third grade gender clarification or any grade? Kids, you just need to be who you are. Satan is the author of confusion, not God, because God is not the author of confusion. Satan is the author of confusion, and not only is he the author of it, he's really a master of it. You may not, young person, be a manly type guy. Or you may not be a girly girl. That's okay. Just be who you are. My wife was a tomboy. You remember when we used to use that term? You don't hear that term anymore. But my wife was a tomboy. She enjoyed baseball. She enjoyed being outside. She enjoyed hunting. She enjoyed her horses. She loved to ride. She would rather ride than fix a meal or wash dishes. It didn't make her any less of a girl. And I'm glad, because sometimes I still like to kiss her. But look what we have done in society today. We're going to take these young people in the most confusing time in their life. You remember being an adolescent? Do you remember being an adolescent? You remember what it was like and how confusing it was? I remember I woke up, I didn't used to have blemishes on my face, and all of a sudden I started having pimples. I didn't know where I fit in. I didn't know where I was comfortable. I wanted to fit in, but I didn't know what to do. So, you know, and then they start taking these people on the web and all these things and say, well, you know what? Maybe you're not yourself, because maybe you're not really who you are. We would take all the tomboys in the world and we would make them boys. Yes, that problem is rooted in a spiritual problem. And the author and the master of that is Satan. Yes, every symptomatic problem in America has its roots in the problem being people being alienated from God by sin. And we don't have to be. It is finished. We read those words in the very beginning. We can be reunited with God through Christ. The finished work of Christ is a gift from God for everyone who will receive. I can't give it to you. Only God can. I'm just supposed to tell you about it. He says there needs to be more laborers in the field. Every day you need to try to reach somebody for the gospel. When you're out there in the world, we got tracks in the back now. We had a hard time getting a mortar, but we got them. Maybe there's somebody that you need to reach out to. Maybe there's somebody that's going through sickness, and God wants you to pray for them. Talk to that person. You've heard me say this before. You, when you come to them and say to them, would you like for me to pray for you? Or would you share with them the witness of the gospel, what he's done in your life? You're not sharing anything they haven't already heard, because God wants them saved more than you could ever do it. So the Spirit has already been dealing with them. The Spirit has already been drawing them. All you're there is to water it. All you're there is to sow it. So that becomes the fruition in their life. But every gift comes from God. I don't have it. I've never saved anybody in my whole entire life. I've never healed anybody in my whole entire life. The Scripture says I should lay hands on the sick, I should anoint them with oil, and they will be healed. That's my job. The person that is healed, it's by faith, your faith, that you are healed. It's a gift from God. I never delivered anybody. I've never saved anybody. I've never baptized anybody in the Holy Spirit. But when Jesus says it is a finished work, it is a gift that is available to everyone in this congregation. The veil was rent from the top to the bottom. Everyone has open access to the Heavenly Father, and He does not limit His children. There's not any one good thing you wouldn't give your children, and there's not any one good thing that God would ever hold back away from you. Ever, ever. He wants to empower all of us to be witnesses and testimonies for the goodness of God through the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this gift from God is not for me, but it's from Him. You see, I can't give it to you. I can only present it. And when I present it to you, it's up to you whether you desire to receive it or not. So when I open the lid on this gift box, and I take out what's inside, my hands work, the first thing that comes up is salvation. It is a finished work. The book of Romans says, he that believes in his heart, confesses with his mouth, shall what? Be saved. Have you done that? It's in this box. It's a gift for you. This is a gift that God is bringing to you today. To you today. My prayer today before I came to this service today is, God, anoint this place so strongly and so powerful that people would be saved in their seats, people would be healed in their seats, and people would be baptized in the Holy Spirit in their seats. This is Spirit of God would just sweep over you. Begin to share those gifts with you because they're available to each one. The next thing that's in the box is healing. The healing is available to you. Healing is available to you. By your faith, you will be healed. You will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. The Great Commission. The book of James, elders anoint those that are sick with oil and they shall be healed. The next one is deliverance. That deliverance is available to all of us. Maybe there's something in your life you need to be delivered from. Well, God's got the answer because he can deliver you. Guys, if you're wrapped up in pornography, God wants to deliver you from that so you can be the man that you need to be. What did I say that old guy said? I don't know why anybody hold off from Jesus because Jesus only wants you to be a better person. All I want for you to do is to be a better person because that's what Jesus wants in your life. The last thing is forgiveness. And many of you maybe need forgiveness in your life. He offers that. He says he is just to forgive us of all of our sins. So number one is salvation. Does anybody need that gift today? Because he died for you. Is there anybody? If you feel that you need to have this gift and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit has been dealing with you to come forward and to accept him, I want you to just get up and come forward. Just get up and come forward. Is there anyone? The next one is healing. Is there anybody that needs a healing in their life? God wants to heal you. You believe that? Does God want to heal everybody but not you? God wants to heal you. God wants to heal you as much as you, as much as anybody in this world. Jesus died so you could be healed. Jesus died so you could be saved. Jesus died so you could have deliverance. Jesus died so you could receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He did that for you. And it don't cost you a thing. The only thing it costs you is faith. Will you stand with me today? Now, maybe in a group today, we're in a brand new church, brand new preacher, brand new. And maybe you're a little embarrassed to come up during the service when everybody's here. Pastor Leah will be here. There'll be others that will be here afterwards. If you would like to have individual prayer, we will do that. My house should be a house of prayer. We come here today not so you can hear Leo say a lot of good words or flowery speeches. We came here today to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and not only be in the presence of the Holy Spirit, but gain strength from one another. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we pray that, Father, if there's anyone that needs to have these gifts and they desire these gifts in their life, that they would step forward to receive them today. I pray that, Father, you would be with us as we go our separate ways, that your hand would be upon each and every one of our lives. And I pray over this congregation today that, Father, you would open the windows of heaven and you would pour out your blessings upon each and every one of them and their families. I pray for the farmers today, Father. Many of them are going to be concerned about all the money that they've got invested, all the money that they've got borrowed, and they can't even get in the field. I pray that, Lord, you would bless them with a peace that passes all human comprehension. That you are there, that you're there to support them, and that you're there to love them. I pray that you would be with us as we go our separate ways. Draw us all back together as soon as possible. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Have a great day and a great week.